I hope you're all relaxed and at peace and caught up on everything that you need to do. You know, this is the season of peace as we celebrate the birthdays of the Prince of Peace. So all the other stuff we do and we burden ourselves with, come on, let's let some of that, let that go. And that's the stuff that can make us anxious. So today I invite you to stay with us and relax, because we are talking with two experts in mental and emotional health. Their careers are dedicated to helping us understand what is making us anxious and finding strategies to overcome. Jenny Brotherton is the owner of North Idaho Children's Mental Health Clinic, and Jill Hicks is her clinic director, and they are here to help us today. So we'll be right back after these messages. Stay tuned.
Hello, this is Nevin Neal, pastor of Bonners Ferry Baptist Church. The Word of God states in Psalm 23, verses 1 and 4, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Please notice the simple but profound truth of verse 4 in Psalm 23. The peace of the psalmist was not found in the absence of the evils of darkness or danger or even of death, but in his confidence that the Lord was present. Someone greater than those evils was with him. Your peace today, my friend, will not be found in the absence of evil, but in the presence of the Lord. I ask you, is he present in your life? Is he your Savior? Is he your shepherd? If not, he can be and should be. If I can assist you in any way, please contact me by texting or calling 208-267-3746.
How tall will I be?
Can I die from hiccups?
What's antibiotics?
Do I have cooties?
What's toe jam?
Why can't medicine taste like burritos?
Kids have all kinds of questions. We have the answers. With 6 pediatricians on staff, Kinixu Health Services, Sandpoint Pediatrics, has the ability to treat even the most difficult health needs of your child, all in a kid-friendly environment. At Kinixu Health Services, we specialize in making it all better. Check us out at kinixuhealthservices.org.
Joy, it's the gift that keeps on giving. And speaking of gifts you keep on giving, it's past time to switch it up this holiday into a smarter joy maximization strategy. Scratch games from the Idaho Lottery. The perfect holiday gift, available in different colors, sizes, scents, and sparkletude. Some with prizes up to 200 grand. So put more holla in their holidays with scratch games from the Idaho Lottery. It's joy worth sharing. Woo! Benefiting Idaho Public Schools and the Permanent Building Fund. Please play responsibly.
When is the best time to talk to your family about staying in touch during a disaster? When floodwaters reach your door? When wildfires are engulfing the edge of your neighborhood? Or an earthquake is destroying buildings? When a tornado is tearing through town? Or a hurricane strikes? Or is the best time, perhaps, today? During a disaster, you may not be able to stay in touch with your family or friends as easily as you think. And it's not always as simple as using your cell phone. That's why now is the time to take action. Go to ready.gov/communicate and make your emergency plan today. Don't wait. Communicate. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
North Idaho's Radio, KSPT and KBFI.
All right, out there, here we are with Jenny Brotherton, Jill Hicks, and their name was the North Idaho Children's Mental Health Clinic. Now it is also called the North Idaho Community Mental Health Clinic, to really reflect all the services you have. So Jenny, let's begin there with the scope of your services. What do you offer?
We originally started as a children's mental health clinic 20 years ago, and we've incorporated a lot of programs over the past few years. And so we have primary services, our clinic services, therapy services with licensed clinicians, and then we have support services. We provide CBRS, which is a community-based rehabilitative services, as a support to therapy services. So if a child or an adult is still struggling with just seeing a therapist, then they can have have additional support with another staff person working with them in the community, in their home. We have a substance abuse program for adults and teens, where there's assessment and then treatment for both groups and individuals. There's a lot of peer support programs that we offer for people that need a person that has lived experience, someone who has experienced a mental health issue themselves or a family member has. And so we have a lot of different levels of peer support for both kids and adults.
You mentioned in the opening therapies that you have clinicians for therapy services and then support groups. What kind of therapies are we talking about?
I can answer that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks.
We provide a variety of therapies. We provide play therapy. We provide EMDR.
What's EMDR?
EMDR is eye movement desensitization. It is a trauma-based therapy. A lot of our clinicians have specialties, such as working with children who are on the autism spectrum, working with children and families who've experienced trauma or intergenerational trauma, and then, you know, obviously people with depression or anxiety disorders. But we try to provide a variety of modalities for people to choose from.
How would a person coming in, Jill, give me an example of something someone may come in with. Let's say they are struggling with alcoholism. They have quit several times and they want to, you know, really get on top of it. How would they be able to choose the modality that would work for them?
What happens is they go through an intake process with us, everybody who walks through our doors. In that intake process, there's a series of questions that they answer, which will identify some of their symptomologies, some of their likes or preferences, and then kind of identify modalities to treatment. Jenny and myself meet on those weekly, and then we try to assign best fit clinician to what the person has given us on their intake. People get to choose their clinician. If they interview their clinician and it's not a good fit, then we recommend for them to do a meet and greet with another clinician. And then we also can recommend out into the community if they're not finding a good fit.
I'm hearing a lot of clients and a lot of staff to offer all of this. How many people, Jenny, are on your team?
Well, we have approximately 39 staff in the building, and that includes administrative support as well. But we do have master's level clinicians that are licensed. We have bachelor's level staff that works with support programs. We've got parapros. We have people in the school district, Priest River School District, supporting the schools, and then we have, of course, people answering the phones and those kind of things, and a lot of coordination of care needs to go into care. So if someone comes in the door and has worked in the past or we call physicians, we do a lot of that kind of work to try to make sure we have a full picture of what the person needs.
And how many clients would you say at any one time that you have that are in a part of a group or in a specific therapy?
Well, we serve approximately 250 individuals and families a year. I couldn't tell you at this moment how many are in the door. We have a huge waiting list, as all of the agencies in town have. We are very short-staffed. I could use another 4 therapists at this particular moment, and so could everyone else in town. Kanitsu, Sandpoint Psychotherapy, private therapists, they're all, we have multiple calls a week that we cannot serve and have to
You know,
refer
it's
out.
Interesting because I haven't interviewed you before, and previously when I was on the air, I had, you know, through the years, different counselors come in, some with private practice, some part of a group. And when I looked to see to do this topic that I wanted to cover, I was surprised at how many. I don't know whether there was more or I just hadn't noticed how many. Would you say we have an abundance of mental health? Because I've always heard that we are kind of underserving our mental health needs. So Jill, can you take
that? Yeah, I can answer that question for you. I believe we serve primarily a Medicaid population, which are people who fall below the poverty line. For Medicaid providers, which are therapists that serve a Medicaid population, we are at a very high shortage in our community. I know that the school is rallying around the shortage of needs. We're talking to our government about the shortage of needs. We're talking to our provider, Optum, about the shortage of counselors. There are a lot of counselors in our community that deal strictly with private practice or certain insurances, but for a Medicaid population, the need is much greater than the counselors that serve that need.
Okay, so it's kind of a mixed answer. In the private community where private insurance is covering, their needs are basically perhaps being better met.
Yes.
If not well met. And then in the Medicaid or Medicare community, it's underserved. And the other question that kind of gets me is that given this whole year of COVID, and now here we are in the holidays, it just feels like to me the need is probably even higher. Are you seeing a difference in your populations, a difference in the number of clients, or has it been pretty steady through all of this?
You know, I have not seen an increase. I have seen the same number coming in pretty much, which is a lot, okay? But it was a lot a year ago. It was a lot a year and a half ago. It was a lot 2 years ago, and they're still coming through the door. Do I think the clients that we're currently serving, we have some families that are struggling a lot more than others. Mm-hmm. And the clinicians are really trying hard to balance that out. Sometimes somebody needs an additional session that week, and Jill can talk a little bit about some of those things, but we are trying to work with the clients that we have in our group right now and meet their needs the best we can through lots of methods.
Well, if we can direct our attention, and if there's a better way to break this down, let me know. But I was going to start with like the elderly and look at them through the lens of COVID and shut-in and lockdowns and holidays and all of that. So can we start? I mean, obviously, these elderly that are in homes can't come into you. I mean, does somebody go out to them? How does that? Who's meeting their needs, Jill?
Well, that's a really good question. We had an adult a clinic director, and she recently moved to Coeur d'Alene, and so she's working there now. And we serve people in assisted living facilities and nursing homes with peer support services. So it was an additional support that a nursing home could have where someone came in and visited with that person.
Someone
for our agency would go there to the nursing home or to the assisted living facility or to a shared living facility maybe in the community. Hmm. And it's been difficult because of COVID with the restrictions and safety for both the staff and the client. We don't want to bring anything in there. We're trying to use the telephone. We're trying to use video conferencing. We really went into gear when COVID hit in March and got everybody up to speed with using the technology. But a lot of our clients don't have the technology either.
Right.
And some people don't have an attention ability to stay focused with a device like that in a nursing home. Mm-hmm. So yes, I'm concerned, and we are continually communicating with people around what we can do better for that population.
You know, as you ladies know probably a lot better than I do, it's really hard to nail down the numbers on what's going on this year because there's like way many deaths, and yet overall deaths have not changed for all causes. I interviewed Sandpoint Police about a month or so ago, and they were telling me they were seeing no additional suicide, no additional domestic violence, just that nothing was on their radar scope that would show extra pressure. So I thought the opposite would be true. I thought we would have more domestic, more alcohol, more suicide, if not local, at least regional, we would see it impacting our communities. So if you can comment on that, what are you seeing, what numbers are you seeing? Is it hard for you to get a handle on the numbers that are coming in that regard?
Well, I can tell you that the suicide rates for 2019 did not increase in the state of Idaho, but I don't know the 2020 numbers yet. We don't know that yet,
right.
And since I don't, the police, information, I wouldn't be aware of. I'm seeing some more anxiety and stress, and Jill can speak more about that for our teenagers for sure.
Yeah, teenagers is the next group I want to talk about. We can go there and talk about teens. I want to come back to the elderly too, but what are you seeing then?
I'm seeing a lot of increase around anxiety for our teenagers. A lot of teens are trying to navigate distance learning or in-class learning. Teachers are stressed with having to carry the load of both, where they have a student in class and then the next week they don't have that student. They're trying to kind of double teach, meaning they're trying to put things on Zoom or some type of telehealth method, and then as well as getting assignments. So for our students, our population, a lot of them don't have good access to the internet, a good strong connection to attend a Zoom class or to attend, be in face-to-face learning. And so they're stressed about the amount of deadlines. The school moved to a hybrid method to try to support face-to-face learning, but a lot of our students are reporting there's more tests that happen because they're doing a year's worth of work in a semester. So they're stressed by the workload level, and they're stressed because they're isolated from their friends. They can't have lunch with their friends. They're pretty restricted even in the classroom setting to be 6 feet apart for safety. Teenagers are social beings. We all are,
Yeah, I was just going to say, if you can do one thing to a teen that's going to upset them, you're going to put boundaries around them because this is the very time that they're pushing those boundaries out, hopefully in a healthy, safe way, but they're still pushing out away from mom and dad and away from that family circle.
Yeah. So if their family unit is supportive, then a lot of teens are thriving in this environment because they feel safe.
And
they're
what does
safe
that mean
home.
If parents or families are supportive? What are they doing?
They support their education. They're following through for their teenager or for their student on following up on, did you get your homework done? They're checking, they're communicating with the teachers, they're communicating with their kids about where they're struggling. We have a lot of parents who are frontline workers, so they're working in grocery stores or they're doing something where they're face-to-face with the public. And so they aren't able to do that teaching role with their kids. A lot of our population, our teenagers, are taking care of their younger siblings if they're doing distance learning. And
that's stressful.
Yeah.
And to be the adult teacher almost,
the adult in charge.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so some of our students aren't able, or our clients aren't able to get to their homework until, 3 or 4 at night, sometimes 7 at night, they'll start if they're doing distance only learning. So I would say our biggest issues are just an isolation of a teenage population and an elementary population who, shouldn't be isolated. We all need each other. And just the workload stress of not only carrying on the duties of student only, because when they're in school, they can be a student only. When they're at home, they're carrying multiple hats.
Yeah. What about distractions? I know for me, I'm pretty easily distracted unless I'm in an environment where I'm on point, like in an office or something. So I would think that for a teenager that doesn't have all those disciplines developed yet, that they're easily distracted.
Well, and if they have access to internet, a lot of times, we have multiple, I can't tell you how many times a day I have a multiple conversation around a student wandering off to YouTube or playing Roblox or Minecraft just because it's so highly rewarding and entertaining. Mm-hmm. They'd much rather do that than their math assignment. So
You know, this is probably off topic a little bit, but I was in a conversation just recently where we were talking about the state of, this was essentially public education kind of across America, and that there are just specific declines. I mean, colleges are seeing students that are not college ready, they don't know American history, their English is declining, and just for a multiple of reasons. And I was challenged on that, and they wanted some sources, and I couldn't believe, you know, like the 150 sources I found from NPR and Forbes and Stanford University and every reliable site that you would want, where they are seeing, it's not so much that we don't have good students, good schools, and good teachers, whether it's public, private, faith-based, home, it's that the trend line is down. And so there are educators that are thinking that this whole COVID thing is just going to, the trend line is going to get pretty steep unless we do something amazing. And so I see you, talk about frontline workers, I see you frontline workers with these young people who need to understand how academically vulnerable they are. And they are. And no matter, I mean, if they're getting waylaid by YouTube, you know, it hurts and it will hurt in the long run. I mean, I don't know if you have a comment on that, but.
Well, I want to comment and just be really clear that we're really proud of our school district for doing face-to-face learning and doing a hybrid method. The schools for a lot of our clients are warm and they're safe and they provide meals.
Yeah.
And I think that our district had made that decision based on multiple factors, but that being one of them. And in our community that we serve, we have, you know, students who are traveling sometimes on a bus for an hour to an hour and a half one way to get to school. And so I think that the schools being open is amazing for our community.
I agree. I think having the schools open is not only amazing, but just so important. And I'm out walking on the bike trail out here that runs along Highway 2. And I'm not so good when it's rainy and cold. But a little bit earlier in the year, I get surrounded and swept past with the cross country kids and, you know, the girls team and the boys team. And I was just so impressed that they were there. They were out. The coaches were with them and they were doing a normal, natural, healthy thing. Mm-hmm. And I applaud that. All right, we're up against a break. We're going to take that break right now and we will be back.
Since 1990, Brown's Northside Machine and Gear has been your local diesel and heavy equipment expert serving the logging, trucking, and construction industry. They carry the reliable Deca line of batteries, and they now stock Instachains and the latest in LED light bars. So call Brown's today at 263-4643 or stop by the shop located on Triangle Drive behind the Bonner Mall. Their ASC, Certified Master Mechanics, can help keep your equipment on the road all winter long. Open from 7 to 5 weekdays and Saturdays until 1. Brown's Northside Machine and Gear.
Become an employee owner and take charge of your future at Lighthouse Foods. Join their weekly job fair each Wednesday from 11 to 4. As the number one refrigerated salad dressing company in America, Lighthouse is an essential business, and they have dozens of positions available. Entry levels start at $14 an hour, and because Lighthouse is 100% employee owned, they offer generous benefits and competitive shift premiums. Register for the job fair at lighthousefoods.com/careers. Join the Lighthouse family and start your future today.
As this year draws to an end, most of us are looking ahead to better days. And Super One Foods wants to make sure your holidays are filled with all the magic and wonder you normally expect. We may not be hosting those big gatherings of family and friends, but we still want to enjoy our closest connections. And good food is always part of the equation. Stock up now and break out your favorite recipes to make meals to be savored or gifts of homemade treats. Whether it's pumpkin pie or a juicy turkey with stuffing, Super One Foods is ready to help you make this a season to remember. From the best selection of fresh produce to quality cuts of meat or everything you need to make a big batch of your favorite holiday goodies. At Super One Foods, we believe there's no room to compromise. by giving you highest quality products at the best possible prices every day. Experience the difference at Super One Foods. And happy holidays from our family to yours.
Being a teenager is tough. There's the constant pressure to be liked.
Endless worrying about college.
Cyberbullying, high expectations, all the negativity.
There's no question. Being a teenager is tough. And what do Idaho's teens do when they want to block out the noise and clear their head?
We play!
Research shows that teenagers who participate in high school sports have lower stress levels, more confidence, and greater self-esteem. And then there's the biggest benefit of all.
High school sports are fun.
Not just fun.
They're a lot of fun.
Encourage your teenagers to participate in a sport or activity when they go to high school. They'll stress less and smile more. And they'll be laying the foundation for a happier, healthier future.
This message presented by the Idaho High School Activities Association and the Idaho Athletic Administrators Association.
KBFI 1450, KSPT 1400, and 97.1 FM.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back. And, you know, you can catch this program right now live at NorthIdahoRadio.com. It's live streaming. And you can go to NorthIdahoRadio.com afterwards, later today, tomorrow, and you can get a recording of this show. And all of the noontime shows are archived there. So not just me on Tuesday, but all of our noontime hosts are there, and they're just, it's great listening. So NorthIdahoRadio.com is the place to find all that. Well, we're talking today with Jenny Brotherton and Jill Hicks. They are with the North Idaho Community Mental Health Clinic. They have all kinds of services. What's the best way for people that are listening, if they want to get a hold of you and maybe explore help that they can get with you, how do they get in touch with you, Jenny?
Yes. Well, they can call us at 208-265-6798, and we always have people on the front desk during business hours, and they will take information. And sometimes I talk to people immediately, and sometimes I talk to them the next day, and we will
all right,
answer their questions.
Answer the questions they have.
They can also call their doctor and talk to their doctor, and their doctor can give a referral to us as well.
That's
so
good to know.
They feel more comfortable doing that.
Yeah.
We do a lot of doctor referrals.
You had mentioned that your Medicare and Medicaid.
Medicaid.
Yeah. So do you take any private insurance?
We take all private insurances and employee programs. And
but you also take Medicaid.
We take Medicaid.
What's unique. Yeah. All right. Yeah. 265-6798 will get you to this team. I want to go back to the elderly and talk. I have two questions for you. What can friends and family do to help relieve the situation with their elderly relative in assisted care? And how can we tell, or probably the staff could tell, that there needs to be some specific intervention for grandma, that she is in despair? She's just not liking the situation. She is dying of despair.
Well, the first thing that anyone who is with a person a lot has to notice anything that changes for them. So a person who's not acting the way that they used to, spending less time communicating with the people around them, spending more time alone, isolating, even if they're isolated from COVID, but they're still isolating.
Even more so.
Not enjoying some of the things that they used to, their TV shows or their books that they were reading, or they're having difficulty. So reaching out. And I think in our culture, we don't want to reach out to mental health providers. Mm-hmm. And we don't want to say that we might have a problem. And in making the telephone call gives you an opportunity to explore that. I do have phone calls from people that says, my sister or my aunt or my grandmother or whatever, you know, is feeling this way, and do you think they need help? Mm-hmm. And I won't know until we ask and talk about it. So reaching out, and maybe it's not anything that needs a clinician, but needs maybe other people in their lives, other support, more community-based supports.
Yeah.
You know, reaching to other sources that they haven't. Maybe somebody needs to go back to some of the sources they used to. And so if you have someone in your life, whether you're in a nursing home, assisted living, or in your own home or community, if you see them stop showing up to something or they don't call you like they used to, or when you call them, they don't answer the phone as much, mm-hmm. you know, reach
you know,
out.
If I had a relative in assisted living, I would be not only calling grandma or my aunt or whoever, but I would be maybe once a week without being a pest, touching base with staff. Mm-hmm. Say, are you seeing anything? Is anything mm-hmm. happening that we need to be alert to?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think staff would, as long as you weren't calling like every day, I would think would be too much, but once a week to make sure that they're not noticing something or they're on the alert for something.
I think most places want people to check in with the people that live there.
Yeah.
You know, and technology is difficult, and technology is especially difficult for people who are older because they haven't had the years of experience like our teenagers
right.
and our younger people are getting more. But, you know, Skype is a wonderful tool, mm-hmm. you know, for you to actually see someone and the nursing homes, you know, usually have some level, how many of those calls they can handle because they have to kind of, the staff has to set that up.
Right.
But I know they would try. And with our peer support staff, they attempt to do that so they can see a person's face. And when you see a person's face, you can gauge a little bit better mm-hmm. on how they're doing.
You know, where I live, it's not all elderly. It's a very small gated community here in Sandpoint, and there are some that are older, but we're kind of a mixed thing. We've got younger couples, just no kids for some reason. And one gal just recently fell. She was quite elderly. She's in care now, in rehab. She's pretty amazing. And we were all asked to write cards, write notes, put things in a bag, and the staff of where she is, they promised that they would read everyone, put them up, you know, reread them so this person can know that all this group of people is thinking of them and sending them things.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, you're really talking about connection.
Yes.
And so, you know, family near or far, you can use some of that technology to have, you know, grandkids, teenagers, reach out to that person. You know, these don't have to be long phone calls. They can be a 10-minute call in the day.
And, they shouldn't be long because it's tiring.
Right. And then just to really, you know, from my parents, just having them be isolated with COVID and not being able to see them, doing those connector calls, having, you know, their grandkids call and just say what they've been doing for the day. For some people, I'll say sometimes turn off the news because mm-hmm. it's kind of on a loop or a repeat.
No kidding. Yeah.
And then maybe exploring some things that maybe you used to like to do, but you just haven't done for a while, like crocheting or sewing, you know, cards or letters, a funny picture, any type of connection that you can have with somebody near or far always is a good support.
You know, one idea that I have found that I really like a lot is I'm a reader, but I don't always want the book in my hand anymore, especially at night. I'm not quite as able to, I fall asleep. Audible, I mean, it just sign them up. It's like 100 and, I don't know, $60 a year for, I don't know, how many books a month? I don't even know now, one or two. And they read books to you. And it's wonderful. It's entertaining. It's easy. You can make it the volume low, or you can use earbuds if you're comfortable with that. So I think Audible is a great gift for someone. Well, let's turn our attention to the holidays and how the holidays affect us. I mean, I will testify that for me, the holidays are extraordinarily challenging. With, you know, my husband passed, it's been several years now, but in early November, and then there's Thanksgiving, and then there's our wedding anniversary, and then it's Christmas Eve, and it's Christmas Day, and it's New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. It's like, oh my gosh, you know, will I ever slog through? I think the holidays are hard for everyone, no matter what. Now we're separated, and there are people that have, you know, gone on, passed on to heaven. So how do we do better with our holidays? I'll ask both of you to chime in on this. Jenny?
Well, I think expectations are huge. We put huge expectations on holidays.
Yeah.
And one of the things that we have found helpful this year is to lower expectations, to have structure, but doesn't have to be always what we used to do.
It's not that Norman Rockwell thing anymore. Come on. No. I don't think it ever was, but
so we need to lower expectations, and we need to take the moments as they come and do reach out to people. Even if you don't see them for the holidays, but you normally do, mm-hmm. plan on time that day to connect with them. Mm-hmm. I know I'm not going to be seeing my family. My 88-year-old mother lives with me. I'm trying to be very careful. So my kids are not coming, and my sister, but we're going to be seeing them through Skype or something this year. I think that you have to do that.
You know, one thought, we were talking about technology, Zoom or Skype or even, you know, on your phone, there's Hangouts and FaceTime. They've got different apps. But there's just nothing wrong with an old-fashioned
phone call.
No. Just pick up the phone, 5 minutes, just checking in, how you doing.
Yes.
Tell them whatever. You know, sometimes it's just what you did that day or what's going on. That's the kind of thing that keeps you. It does not have to be a big alert phone call or anything. It's just howdy and I love you.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, go ahead. Any thoughts on?
Yeah. I think for younger kids, they go from a pretty highly structured environment with school to vacation. And some of our families have 3 weeks off if their children go to charter school, or 2 weeks off if they're in at LPOSD. And so I think that having, for little kids, they do really well with visuals, having a daily plan on the fridge. And this can be really simple.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're going to get up, we're going to have breakfast. So you might put breakfast on the fridge. You might say we might go to the store, and then we're going to go build a snowman.
Mm-hmm.
So they have some level of visual that they can look at, mm-hmm. on how the day is going to go.
That's a lot of calming, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, for a lot of parents.
Supportive.
Yes.
I like to know what's going to go on in my day.
Yeah.
I don't put it on the refrigerator anymore, but, you know, feels good.
Teenagers sometimes put it on their phones, mm-hmm. Of what the plan is for the day, or making a plan with friends or having some connection in that way is helpful. I think for our little guys, keeping things simple and just letting them know that it's going to be simple. We have a lot of families where mom and dad work various shifts, and their shifts change pretty frequently. And especially with holiday hours, maybe mom works from, you know, 4 a.m. until noon, but during holiday she might extend that till 2 or 3. Having that listed on their fridge or visible for families is always supportive, so they can check the fridge. And then kids can kind of choose an activity as well. So, you know, there can be some structured time of like doing, you know, daily tasks of chores in the household. And then, you know, we're going to watch a Christmas movie tonight.
Playtime.
Yeah, some play. So I think for younger kids, that planning of and having the visual can be really calming for them.
Yeah, that is really a good idea. And we're going to take another break right now, our last break, so don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
BF Quick Lube at the top of the South Hill does more than just lubes and oil changes. They do them quick. Just stop by or call and make an appointment at 208-267-7481. Along with regular maintenance, BF Quick Lube can handle most of your other auto repairs. BF Quick Lube would like to take this time to say thank you to each of their customers for putting their trust and support in their services year after year. For a quick lube and oil change and so much more, visit your friends at BF Quick Lube on the South Hill in Bonner's Ferry.
Are you looking for a contractor for home projects like remodels or renovations? Or someone to do some handyman work to clear some tasks from your honey-do list? Call Real Estate Rescue today to get a bid for your upcoming project. We're available 7 days a week, and we can get started right away. Visit our website at realestaterescue208.com or call us now at 208-265-9051. That's Real Estate Rescue in Sandpoint, 208-265-9051.
Co-op Gas and Supply Company Incorporated is your locally owned propane, farm, home, and hardware store. We've been in business as a community cooperative for 86 continuous years, and we are proud to still be owned by the people who shop here. At this time of year, we are increasingly aware of how important local businesses are to the community, from bringing product from all over the world to your home to participating in many important fundraisers and community programs each year. It is also at this time that we understand how important our customers are to the success of this business. Thank you so much for your membership and continued patronage. This is Kathy, along with George Haley, General Manager, our Board of Directors, and the entire staff of Co-op Gas and Supply Company, wishing you and our community a very Merry Christmas and a prosperous New Year. The Co-op Gas and Supply Company, 125 Tibbetts Lane in Ponderay, 208-263-6820.
Being a teenager is tough. There's the constant pressure to be liked.
Endless worrying about college.
Cyberbullying, high expectations, all the negativity.
There's no question. Being a teenager is tough. And what do Idaho's teens do when they want to block out the noise and clear their heads?
We play! Yeah!
Research shows that teenagers who participate in high school sports have lower stress levels, more confidence, and greater self-esteem. And then there's the biggest benefit of all.
High school sports are fun.
Not just fun.
They're a lot of fun.
Encourage your teenagers to participate in a sport or activity when they go to high school. They'll stress less and smile more. And they'll be laying the foundation for a happier, healthier future.
This message presented by the Idaho High School Activities Association and the Idaho Athletic Administrators Association.
See our schedule, check our helpful links, or stream us anywhere, all at NorthIdahoRadio.com.
Welcome back in. We're talking with Jill Hicks and Jenny Brotherton. They're with the North Idaho Community Mental Health Clinic, and they have got so many good ideas for keeping you and your family connected, connected with people that, you know, you're not traveling and seeing each other over the holidays or really at any time of the year. And they just have some really good ideas for you and help, and they are available to you to talk to you. If you have questions, you have concerns, you have something going on in your family that you feel that needs some kind of intervention or at least some kind of professional opinion for, you know, what is happening and is it, you know, what is happening in the marriage, what's happening with the kids, what's happening with grandma, 265-6798. So let's focus on exercise and how healthy exercise is for us at a time like this. Really any time, but especially now. Mm-hmm.
If you are feeling anxious, exercise really is your one of the best methods that you can do. And it's not necessarily go out and become sweaty and increase your heart rate. It's just movement.
Or join a gym. You don't have to join a gym.
No, you can, you know, I know the weather is a big factor. Weather's one of the reasons we live here, so we can enjoy the outdoors, the lake and the mountains. But I think movement is really, really key. Kids need movement. They need movement every day. They need big muscle movement. So even, you know, we'll talk with teachers in the schools about having a kid lift a heavy or, you know, not hurting them, but a heavy dictionary from one classroom to the other, because they're sensing that that kid needs to get out of their desk and move from room to room. Kids like to be helpful. And so having them do a task that involves movement in the day is really important. They're great little exercisers. Most kids know how to do jumping jacks. They love sit-ups. They love to jump. A lot of times in our hallways, you'll see kids doing animal crawls. Sometimes they're crawling down the hallway like a bear or a tiger, and they're just doing some movement in their day.
This is important for parents to remember at home. And by the way, we're not leaving parents out of this whole movement thing. You know, get up off the sofa, the chair, your desk. I mean, this is good advice anytime. And move. You need to be moving every hour on the hour. Whatever this is called, Fitbit, buzzes on my wrist every hour, 10 minutes through the hour, to say get up and do something.
I think that's important for parents as well.
Yes.
So it's important that if you're feeling anxious as a parent or you're feeling overwhelmed as a parent, you know, you don't have to solve everything at that moment. You can just move and get away and move and go outside for a minute and then come back in. Mm-hmm. It's really important that we move as adults too.
Yeah. And it's, I always feel better back from a walk, but it exercise apparently makes new synapses in your brain. It actually grooves things into your brain, which I didn't know.
The cortisol levels, when you have anxiety, you release a hormone that gets you ready for fight or flight or freeze. And those cortisol levels can increase with anxiety. And then you have to actually have your body have some movement to release that cortisol. Mm-hmm. And you can release it really healthy. You can do it through Pilates, you can do it through stretching, through some type of yoga. There are lots of things online that are free. There's lots of kids yoga resources where, if you need a little break from your kids, but you want them to move, they could, do a quick 10-minute activity on YouTube. Mm-hmm.
Or clean up their bedroom for 10 minutes. Just 10
make
minutes.
Make their bed.
Bed with them together.
Yeah, you know? Doing something to create that movement, I think, is really, really important.
Yeah. I agree. So the other thing I want to go back to before we say goodbye today, and that was you had some really good thoughts about, in one way, keeping things normal. Try to maintain your normal routine, but simplify. Speak to that again a little bit about how important that is.
Well, I think we spent the past year trying to help anxious people not overplan or not worry that they've haven't done what they were always doing before, what they've always done. And this is Jill's idea, but I love it when she tells parents to just have simple meals. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't have to have a huge grocery list. You can have the same meal on Monday that you always have on Mondays. You know, the same meal on Tuesday that you've always had on Tuesdays. And I can see the relief in that person's face when she tells them that. Oh, I don't have to come up with all these creative meals. Kids don't, they like, you know, those things. Mm-hmm. So try to cut yourself some slack and don't over plan, but continue to have some of the same rituals and routines that you've had with your kids.
Right.
As you've done in past years.
Yeah, I like the idea of keeping some of the rituals that you do, because that is, I mean, we've been focusing on the older and the teens and the younger ones, but even those in the middle years, we need those repetitive things. They comfort us. They connect us with our mom and dad and our kids. It's just, it really pulls the family together to have a family ritual. What about, how can parents simplify some of the education? This is a big question, but we'll have a little bit of time for it, about a minute. The questions to help kids with their education, to really support them, because I think kids are just extraordinarily challenged now in school. It's just all fruit basket upset.
That's a big question. I think the number one thing that I deal with mainly with connecting with our teachers and principals is that communication piece between parent and child and teacher, facilitating that communication. If the teachers know what's going on in the home or what's going on for that child, there's, you know, some built-in empathy there, hopefully. And the teachers can communicate with the parents about some of the gaps, if there are gaps in things. And then the child can communicate to the parent or to the teacher about what their needs are.
Right.
And what they're not
understanding.
And
let's get everybody out at the library. Maybe it's an outing. You can walk if that works. Well, listen, we are out of time. I appreciate so much that you ladies came in today to help us. And I appreciate also very much the work that you do. It's pretty amazing. And you are essential and frontline workers. Jenny Brotherton, Jill Hicks, thank you again for being in.
Thank you, Barbara.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And hey, everybody, you know, I always like to look ahead to what's coming up next week. Brian Holt, who is the Bonner County Veteran Services Officer here in Bonner County, he's going to be here to detail out for us what veteran services programs are available, any new help, local or regional, that is coming our way, and what kind of assistance and services that they have. And they also have issues with mental health and physical health. So we're going to be talking about all that. So until then, I want to say Merry Christmas, take care, and be blessed.